Thank you to all the teachers giving up their time and energy to prepare and teach, and their peaceful Sunday afternoon, crikey, to teach kids about Jesus. It's not easy, but it's a lot of fun for them, I guess, but the eternal rewards are beyond, out of this world, aren't they? So thank you to them. And thank you to Linda for all of the effort that she's put in this week, night after night after night, while we sit on the lounge watching TV. No, thank you. It's a great job. And to everyone who's prepared food and whatnot, that's good. David, welcome here. I got a message last night that you got hit by a tree. Okay. Yeah. Really? Crikey. Were you cutting the tree down or? Yeah. Every time I cut down a tree, I say this could be the last time I do it. Honestly, you got to think that way. Because they're killers. They're out to get you, I'm telling you. I mean, you're standing there cutting it down, so they're going to come, going to bite you if they can. Nothing comes easy. Nah, just the tree. But thank goodness that you're safe, and I'm surprised to see you here. I thought you were in hospital for the night. Very good, and good to see you, Bev. Welcome along. It'll be a hard day for you, but thank you for coming and blessing us with your presence. Yeah. Been a hard week. Been a good week, but a difficult week. I remember last week I said, standing up at the AGM going, well, you know, being asked to lead the church for another 5 years, I just said, I feel really unequipped, unqualified to do what I do. It's not easy. You know, when you say, would you like to lead the church? And you go, well, it sounds good. But you don't think about all the stuff that you have to do that goes with that. And your jobs would be the same. Would you like a job? Yeah, great, I'll have a job. But there's a lot of stuff involved. And a lot of times you get yourself in a situation where you just feel unqualified to do the job. I remember sitting doing interviews with, you know, before bosses trying to get a job, and they look at your resume or your marks you got at school and they go, nah, unqualified. You don't have the grades that you'll need to get this. And a lot of times I think life is like that. You go through life feeling unqualified to do the job. And at the funeral the other day, I felt very unqualified to stand up, and I was pretty nervous actually. Had the governor of New Guinea there, Papua there, not New Guinea, Papua. And, you know, wow, that's a nerve-wracking thing. And leading a funeral for a guy like Max and Bev, who, you know, their entire life just has influenced thousands of people and still do, right throughout the world, their ministry is so effective. Training and mentoring leaders who the governor Lucas is one of those men who Max mentored. You know, amazing man. And Lippius and all those guys who are leading churches over there, standing there talking to some CEOs who've been influenced by Max as well, who are innovators in strategic thinking. They're consultants, and they're consulting, you know, organisations like, the list is endless, New South Wales State Rail, the tax office. They're thinking big, Suncorp, the businesses they deal with are, you know, you go, wow, I felt very unqualified to be even talking to these CEOs, out of my depth, if you like. And to be honest, being a father is not much different. You know, what qualifications do you need to be a father? You don't have to sit an exam. You don't have to pass a test or do an interview or even write an essay. What's, you know, 10 points of being a father before you... No, you just get presented with this kid and you go, oh man, what does it mean to be a father? How do you be a father or a mother? I mean, we're unqualified. We just don't have the qualifications we need to raise children. If you think I'm winging it, I am. Yeah. See, Adam's different. He would have read every book about how to be a father. He's going to be fine. He knows what I'm doing wrong. But, you know, you just sometimes you just feel unqualified. You know, people look at you as a father and they associate you with a role model, especially when I'm in the school. And they, you know, you're a male and you're a role model to these young men. And you know, you think about your own character and you think, crikey, if they only knew, you know, what I'm really like, I wouldn't qualify to be a role model. I'm not a very good role model. You know, you think about your competence, your ability to do things, to make good and wise decisions. And you think about the decisions you've made back in the past and you go, wow, if only they knew. I'm not qualified to give godly counsel. I'm not that qualified, you know. I don't know whether you feel the same way, but I was speaking to a few people recently and that's what they were saying. They didn't feel qualified. We're unqualified, we're inadequate, which makes us feel hypocritical or phonies. And you walk around trying to present yourself to most people in a way that you go, well, you know, I've got it all together. And you know, you look at your Facebook feeds and your Instagrams and all of those things and you go, well, these people have got it all together. But when you dig down a little bit deeper, you realise, you know what, they're just faking it like everybody else. We basically unqualified to live a life of what, you know, the expectations that everyone has of us. Or we stand there, we look at someone else and we compare ourselves and you go, well, I'm not as good as that. And we compare and basically the outcome is you feel unqualified. Well, today I want to say that you're in good company. That you're in good company. If you're feeling unqualified, that's okay. Because as we've been going through reading the story of Abraham, Isaac, and we're going to look at Jacob after the holidays, we realise that these guys didn't have it all together. It's interesting, isn't it, that God didn't wait for them to have it all together before he called them. It wasn't as though they were great men of faith and he said, okay, you've got it, come follow me, and we're going to go from Ur to Canaan, we're going to establish a whole new people, take this land. Didn't even know God at that point. His father, Terah, worshipped Baal. He didn't have it together. He didn't have faith. It wasn't as though God said, here's a man after my own image whose character is flawless. No. You think about some of the things they did, Abraham and Isaac. They did whatever it took to save their skin. They lied. They cheated at times. They bought their way out of trouble. And we haven't got even to the life of Jacob yet. And these three guys, when God asks Moses, when Moses asks God to tell them, you know, if Pharaoh, you know, Exodus chapter 3, Moses comes up to Pharaoh and he says, you know, let my people go. Well, what if the people ask, who is this God that you're representing? Who is this God? And he says, tell them that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. Because if you're about to invade the most powerful army in the world, you don't rock up and say, oh God, you know, the God of Abraham. I'm, you know, remember Abraham? Yeah. He's the guy who tried to, you know, sleep with his wife's maid to solve the problems. He bartered his way out of situations when someone wanted to take his wife. You know, Isaac sort of, he didn't stand up. He didn't conquer an army. He didn't go into Canaan like God said, this is going to be yours. They didn't go in with an army and go, watch what God does. They just milled around the people. And you'd expect that God would say, I'm the God of, you know, Alexander the Great. Someone like, who's famous, who just conquers and people shake in fear at the name. It's interesting. I think that's interesting, that God would associate himself with three guys who basically didn't really have it all together. Three guys who were pretty much unqualified. Isaac was a terrible father. You think about Isaac. He showed favoritism to his eldest son, who was a hunter, and it caused this major rift in their family that the two sons in the womb were fighting each other, and that rift continued right through their lives. He wasn't such a great dad. Jacob, we'll discover after the holidays, that Jacob, his name was heel grabber. Heel grabber. He come out of the womb hanging onto his brother's heel, and he spent his whole life trying to prove himself, prove that he was better than his brother. He used deception, he used all sorts of ways to get to where he wanted to get. Jacob the heel grabber. It makes no sense why God would align himself with these sorts of men. But he did. Because that's the sort of God he is. We're trying to do a study on the heart of God, trying to discover who is God, what's he like, what's the heart of God. Well, the heart of God is that he identifies himself with his kids who are flawed. That's the heart of God. Mike mentioned this, and we didn't collaborate at all. His love is unconditional, even when his children are messing it up. His grace goes beyond measure. His acceptance is unconditional. Come. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Come back. Come to me. His blessings are unconditional. It's interesting when we'll get to some of these blessings, that how they actually work, that, you know, between the father and the eldest son and passed down, and the way that Esau and Jacob fought over this blessing. We don't have to do that. Our God is a God who blesses, wants to bless, unconditionally, despite our faults. That's the God we serve. Not based on performance, not based on our qualifications, not based on our character, not based on our competence. You know, you sit there as dads, and you think, wow, you know, I've failed. Or, I don't measure up. We compare ourselves. But the only qualification we need comes from God. God qualifies us. He says, I love you. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. That's what we need to hear from our Father, from our Heavenly Father. And it removes all the performance aspects, knowing that I don't have to prove myself. Don't have to measure up. Don't have to qualify. Don't have to compare myself. I'm already loved. I'm already being blessed. My Heavenly Father accepts you, and He loves you for who you are, with all of your faults, with all of your insecurities, with all of your failures. So does that mean that's it? You know, God called Abraham, accepted him as he was. No. That's the journey that we're on. That's where it starts, the call. And he works with us on the journey. The journey doesn't end until Jesus takes us to be with himself. The journey that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were on is the journey we're on. A journey of transformation. Change. He's helping us to become the people he wants us to be. Not as a judgmental judge, demanding and holding us to a standard, but as a father and a son who nurtures and brings along and encourages, builds up. We don't have to fight or compete for our Father's approval. We already have it. I think that's important to know. How about you turn around to say the person next to you or behind you, that you already have your Father's approval. You already have your Father's approval. You can tell someone that, because maybe they're feeling a little bit unqualified. Paul says the same. Maybe the person you just heard it from wasn't that convincing. This is what Paul says. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We are confident of all of this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It's not that we think we're qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. This is the covenant not written of laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Our qualification comes from God, and we're qualified because of our simple faith in God. He's working in us every day, helping us to become more like Him. I mean, that's liberating. You don't have to pretend to be someone that you're not. You know, I look around and I see people, and that is what life for them is all about. This competition of proving themselves to be someone that they're not really. Kids do it. Adults do it. It's a terrible way to live. And when you think about it, they're only doing it because they're trying to seek for someone's approval. They're trying to prove to themselves or to someone that I'm qualified, I've got what it takes. But if they only realise, you know what, God has already qualified you. You don't have to prove yourself. You're accepted as you are. Get on the journey with God and He'll take you to help you to become even the person that He wants you to be. You know, sometimes you think, it sounds good, but I've got too many problems. My sin, you don't understand my sin. You don't understand what I've been through, what I'm going through. God does. And God still qualifies you to be His son. Don't rule yourself out of the race. Don't disqualify yourself because your own, that's who you think. You know, you don't judge yourself when you're racing. If you step out of the line, you keep running and let the flag person rule you out. God's the guy who's going to qualify you. And He says, you're fine, keep on running. Come with me, follow me. Which means we can just be ourselves. with the knowledge that God is working in our lives. He's working in our lives. So take comfort in that. Take assurance from the fact that every person that has got that God's called, He's using. As a little exercise, go through the Bible and think about the Bible characters and see if you can think of anyone who is already qualified. There aren't any. We are in good company. If you feel unqualified, it's okay. God qualifies you. You're in good company. God's done mighty things through these guys and girls. But they are a work in progress, and so are we. So remember, God's heart is for us. He's for us. He's not a judge. He's not condemning you. He's a good, good Father. Father, we come before you because we know that you love us. If you're a judge and we were living in fear, we would tremble and we would run from you like many do. We would try and persuade others that we are right, that we are good, because of the fear. And we live in a world where we compare and we compete and we judge one another, and it's not the way the world was meant to be. But when we come before you, we realize that you're a loving God. Help us to understand that. Help us to understand your nature. Help us to feel comfortable in your presence as a father and a son. Not a judgmental father or cruel or a father who sets too high expectations, but as a father who nurtures, who loves us unconditionally, who accepts us as we are and wants us to be the best version of ourselves. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. We come to you and we just sit in your presence and we ask that you would continually change us to become more and more in your image, to be the people that you want us to be, without fear, just a knowledge of acceptance and love. We pray that you'll bless each family today, regardless of their circumstances and situations, regardless of their location, that you will be present in their life, that they would feel your presence, and that you would bless them, we pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you for coming today. Go